Shut up! The footy's on Triple M!
Now on Triple M Footy.
Too strong, too good.
This is the Midweek Rub.
That is just brilliant.
How do you like those apples?
Triple M rocks footy.
Yes, it is round 9 of the Triple M Footy Midweek Rub, exclusive to the listener app. The weather's starting to kick in, the winter's coming, and we've got some good football to talk about later in the show. But as I look around to the room, I start on my left, as always, and I must admit, a very trim, terrific-looking Daisy Thomas. Gee, you're looking fit, buddy.
Thank you, Joey. Yes, going really well. Thank you. Got the nice big puffer jumper on today. Dark as it is, just a little bit south of Peru out there at the minute, isn't it?
A little bit chilly.
Well, I was going to introduce first Damo. You look like you mean business today. You got the suit on. You're all dressed up.
Had a breakfast to attend to today, Joe, and I've just kept it on. Like the old days. I used to roll with this every single day, which since COVID, I've hardly put a suit on.
I was going to ask that. Do people need to wear suits anymore? Only sometimes, special occasions.
Yeah,
it was today. You introduced him already, Daisy, but we weren't expecting the duck today. We thought you were out of action. We thought you were gone, bedridden. Well, what's happened? What are you doing here today?
Don't bring up the word replacement.
You needed your shoulder replaced. That's what we thought.
Yeah,
And we replaced you with Nathan Brown.
I'm here today, and you're here.
So don't use the word replacement. Just apparently you can reconstruct me, but you can't replace me.
Well, you knew that as a player. You couldn't replace you when you were out.
It's a very fair point. But no, I only found out a couple of nights ago, Joey. I was with Medibank Private my whole life from footy days. I'm sure you boys were with the same insurance company and flipped over to AIA a few years ago because of a mate. And I got a call the night before I was meant to go into hospital and say, we can reconstruct your shoulder, but we can't replace it.
But you need a replacement.
But I need a replacement. So here you are thinking that you're covered. That's why, you know what, you just got to read the fine line. I remember I did it over the phone, so I can't remember talking about replacements or reconstructions or anything like that, but wasn't covered for that that particular operation. Hmm. So there you go. So here I am.
Here you are. Beautiful. We're the lucky ones.
I tell you what, though, you pay $500 a month. You sort of expect to be covered for most things, don't you? $500 a month. I would have thought.
So anyway, seriously, what are you going to do? Are you going to get it done, or?
Well, I would have been happy if I'd known that I had to pay more than the $500 a month to get a replacement rather than a reconstruction. I certainly would have done that, Damo, but didn't know that that wasn't the case. So to anyone out there with their insurance, read the fine line, because it's something as simple as replace, reconstruct can make a difference.
I like it. Community service announcement. As long as you don't go on SAS or any of those shows until you get your shoulder replaced.
And that's the other thing.
What's going to happen about your chest, though? What are you going to do about your chest and your shoulders?
Well, I'm going to have to start, because I don't want to be a pirate.
How's that jug again go, Duck? For those who don't know it, how's that one go?
I am a little bit sad, but when I come in here, I must say, because of Jill and you guys, you cheer me up. So I would have been under the knife right now, and I'm not. So that's not bad. That's not a bad thing.
Nah, beautiful.
Everything happens for a reason.
It does.
I mightn't have come out.
Oh, geez, that's a bit.
We need to go there.
Fair, eh? Hey, plenty going on, Damo, isn't there? There's plenty to talk about. There's some serious stuff as well. Obviously, we're up to chat about the Collingwood situation with Heredia Lumumba, Nathan Buckley.
Yeah.
After the break.
Do we want to go there now? Or
I think we can do that afterwards. We'll chat a bit of David Noble and the spray.
Yeah, and just the concept of, you know, you guys have lived in an era where it was okay to be as aggressive and as brutal as you needed to be. It's not that way now. I still think there's a place for it, and that's why I wanted to bounce that around you guys soon.
Yep, and we'll have a look at the games as well from the weekend and also look back at our tips. But we'll take a break and then we'll come back and we'll get into the footy news, because there's plenty to talk about, Damo. This is Triple M Footy's Midweek Rub, exclusive to the listener app.
This is the Midweek Rub.
Did you guys ever captain? Oh, no, but I did anyway.
Triple M rocks footy.
This is Triple M Footy's Midweek Rub, exclusive on the listener app. Damo, where would you like to start?
Yeah, we'll start with what we just spoke about a few moments ago, Joey. The concept of an old-fashioned spray where there are no rules in what's said and meant to therefore be no ramifications for what is said, Duck, beyond the moment of it being said. We raised this obviously because of what David Noble did to North Melbourne players after the round 3 loss to Brisbane Lions. It was by 108 points and he lost it. Not the first close coach to lose it this year even, but felt the need to apologise to his players after it. Let's remove David Noble. Let's remove North Melbourne from this. Let's just talk about you all played for coaches who were renowned: Dennis Pagan, Ross Lyon, Mick Malthouse. So for giving on occasions, as good a bakes as ever.
The blanket spray for me, that's the one that we're talking about. That's the one in front of your peers with the whole group involved. That's where I think you've got to be a little bit careful, because some players can handle it and some can't. And that's why when you look at a coach now, they have to be a psychologist. They know, like Ross Lyon knew that he could needle Joey, but he couldn't needle other players. And it was probably more blanket back then than it is now. But that's the key. You've also got to be accountable. You've all got to be held accountable. So if you're playing like crap, and you've got to use North Melbourne as an example because that's who we're talking about. But if you're playing like crap, the coach should be able to give the group, and I know this is blanket, once again, being constructive, but you've just got to be accountable for your performances you're putting out. And if the tail is wagging the dog, so players are getting a little bit upset because they've been told, you know, they're not playing well or whatever, then you're not made for this caper. You're not made to play AFL footy. In actual fact, you're not made to play top level sport at any level.
How many times can you go to that well, guys, when you actually lose it the way David Noble did it, and others have, and it's accepted part of the game? But in your entire career, I've even heard Lee Matthews say you can only probably do it on a handful of occasions as a maximum, and he had a long career as a coach.
I'm with you a bit on that, Damo. I think there is a time and a place, but there's a lot that goes behind it. Like, it depends on the relationship the coach has with the playing group. It depends on what stage of the development the playing group's at, and it's the way it's delivered. So it pricked my antenna at the time, and I think I spoke about it on one of my shows, Duck. I think it was on the first crack, because he gave a spray after the preseason game against Melbourne. If you remember that, there was a double-page spread basically saying how we were embarrassed ourselves. We were, you know, it was a reality check when they got beaten by Melbourne. And then in round three, he did it again. So for me, I was thinking, and my view was, geez, he's got to be careful here. You can't keep going to the well with a young group and spraying them already twice in the first three rounds of the season. But now, some will respond to it and some won't. And I think we've seen that since. So you've just got to be careful about when you deliver it, how you deliver it, and how often you deliver it.
The spray is designed to get a response, to genuinely trigger an emotional response or a physical response on game day. So if you lose and you get absolutely pummeled, you cop a spray, and that is then to trigger you to rock up to training with a real intent about how you then move on from that game. It's not meant, and to Duck's point, if you can't sit there and cop that on a game day, well, you know, where does that leave you
on that response, Joey? Don't some respond better than others?
If it's constructive towards about the game, it's about the game. It's not personal.
So that's what you need to understand. Direct. It's not personal.
It's not personal. And once again, so if David, and we don't know, but if you get the days are gone when you get personal.
It depends on how it's delivered.
Yeah, exactly. So back in our day, it was personal and it was delivered straight to you. Look you straight in the eyes and give it to you. If it's a constructive thing to do with the team, the personal stuff, that's where the coach has to do it one-on-one and understand the player's psyche. And and that's what makes them great coaches.
On the response component to what you referred to there, Daze, they did have probably their best game of the year the next week against the Swans. Now, they lost the game, but if you line up that game with the other seven they've played, inclusive of the win they've had against West Coast, it's probably their best performance. So there was a response. Just
but
one more.
It's a short spike. I think for a team like the Kangaroos, you need to know where they're at. They need to be getting teaching lessons about how to play the game, rather than it being about pure their effort, because they are so far off.
You don't want to keep it soft and fluffy, though. If you're accepting that in a preseason you get beaten by Melbourne, and this is the start, you've had a whole preseason, you've talked about how you're going to improve and where you're going to improve, and you come out in your first opportunity to demonstrate that, and you get wiped off the park, that's not acceptable. You're in the elite level of performance.
But what if they are 100? But we now look and go, they are that far behind Melbourne. They are at 80 points off Melbourne.
But at what point do you accept that? So too was the second best team of last year in the grand final.
That's right.
Yeah.
Let's just cut the crap. Okay, it doesn't really matter whether David Noble gives them a spray or not. Mm. You're saying you'd mollycoddle them. It doesn't matter. So let's just cut the crap. Right now, whatever David Noble's doing isn't working. His message isn't getting through. Therefore, his coaching methods are not great. That's that. If you want to just cut the crap, because it doesn't matter whether you mollycoddle, give them a spray or not, they're clearly not getting the message.
And it seems like that no matter what is happening sort of throughout players coming in now, the old school ways that we all came up with
in the olden days, you've got to treat the new generation. You have to treat them differently.
We'll move on. Another North Melbourne focused issue, but let's make it a broader conversation. The kids that come into the game, minimum mandated 2-year contract to stay at that club of choice. Now, they don't get a say in that. The career average is about 4 years, 4.5 years. So you're contracted to the first club that you're chosen by for sometimes half the duration of the average player contract. Now, this is the conversation. Well, if you pick, well, you're saying there should be more than pick one. It should be more than 2 years if you're Jason Horne-Francis.
Well, maybe it should be.
I don't think that's fair on Jason Horne-Francis. I mean, why would he want to stay?
I'm being a little facetious.
No, but I think let's have the conversation.
Really? You're saying that they shouldn't be mandated to 2 years.
People wanted to make it three and even four.
I'm of that camp.
I think it should stay at two, and I reckon maybe even one on occasions.
Really? Don't you put your club hat and go? If you're investing in a first round draft pick, they should be signed for a 3 or 4 year straight up.
If Jason Horne-Francis is subjected to North Melbourne for 4 years without his choice. Now, he's got a choice to make at the end of his second year. That could destroy him.
Damo, no, there's heaps of players. But what do you think all the number one picks have been gone to the Gold Coast and GWS over the last? You're saying the same thing about all of those players?
They can choose to stay, Duck, but it shouldn't be mandated that they have to.
Well, no, because then they're just going to do exactly what they did to GWS and Gold Coast players, and then therefore North Melbourne are going to be where they're at forever. And that's exactly
Melbourne has got 2 years to convince whoever it is, Jason Horne-Francis and whoever else they brought in.
2 years is not enough, unfortunately.
Well, that's North's problem. That's not Jason Horne-Francis's problem. And I'm big on that because what other industry are you required to stay at the... You don't have a choice where you go as a draftee.
Yep.
You get chosen and North...
You don't have to choose to play AFL either.
That's true.
You don't have to choose to play AFL.
That is true. But North got rewarded for finishing last by taking the best player out of the system.
I'll tell you whose problem it is. It's the coaching panel at North Melbourne. That's whose problem.
Well, that's my point, Doug.
Show some bloody improvement.
And again, let's take North out of the equation. There's no other industry. I mean, you're not forced to stay at Channel 7 or Triple M if you don't want to. I mean, Jason Horne-Francis is at North Melbourne.
They're at the top. So why would I leave?
Well, that's a good point.
Yeah. It's interesting. Especially first rounders should be getting a 3 or 4 year contract mandate to give these clubs that have invested heavily in their first round picks an opportunity to work with him. I don't want to see players moving after 2 years.
Look, where are you on it? Because for Jason Horne-Francis, if he does... Look, I think he will stay, by the way. He was close to re-signing before the year even started. And I think he's invested. You can tell he's invested, can't you? And I don't look at him as someone who's going to run away. But if he does, he's got a right to. And I think to increase it, as some people have been arguing, would be wrong.
Most 18-year-old kids, though, are just that happy to be living their dream and take the opportunity that's presented in front of them. So... And again, yes,
I don't sense that with Jason Horne-Francis.
But which 18-year-old kid would want to take 4 years
Mark
guaranteed?
Murphy, he didn't leave. So he was down the bottom. Bryce Gibbs, Matt Cruiser, they were all went to a club that arguably they could have walked away from under your model after 2 years. And
they chose not to.
There was no look at success coming for them. I think you sort of, if you go back through it, most young players are happy to try and be a part of what is going to be sold as growth. But then after...
There's a massive list. And even if you go back to Oliver and Brayshaw and Petrarca and these guys, where Melbourne were at. Now, they stayed the course and look where they are now.
Correct.
So if they were to do what you did, Melbourne...
I'm just saying don't increase it from the two because...
Well, that's what you're saying. You're
Collingwood
saying pretty
did
much
make
one
finals for the couple of years before I got there and then didn't miss until I left, so...
There's something in that.
The Eagles.
Just
quickly on the Eagles, where that's got to. I can't believe it. What they've got a name, the Nightclub 7.
Oh, yeah.
Sound like the Bali. What was it? Bali 9. Bali, like, come on.
Bali 6 or Bali 9.
You know, Bali 9.
Oh, yeah. You know the hippie nightclub? I knew I'd heard the name before. That was the place that Greg Matthews had a little incident outside of Duck in the early 90s. So it's been going for some time, the hippie nightclub. Now, I just wanted to raise it. Of all the problems they've got, the Eagles, to have seven players... do go through this situation without one of them saying at some stage of the evening, this doesn't feel right, given what we've been through as a footy club.
They've had that pixelated thing over their face.
Yeah. It does, doesn't it?
I mean, there's enough problems without that being the case, and I've got no doubt they would have been suspended if they hadn't already been subjected to the club, the mass unavailability that is still at play.
Big concern. Ross Lyon would always say, that's a club fracturing. Don't fracture. Like, now they're fracturing. There's groups that are deliberately breaking team rules. There are others that are doing the right thing that would be angry at them. It's bad signs when that starts happening. I think they're fracturing as a club.
And the lesson there is that if you do have team rules, you can't go to a nightclub. Go to somebody's house if you want to get together.
Seriously,
if you want to, because they had bad losses, you want to get together, you want to stick together, do it away from the public eye.
Just quickly, we need to ask about the latest with Heredia Lumumba and Nathan Buckley, particularly while Daisy's here, who was at the club during that time.
Yeah, look, so we're talking on this Wednesday afternoon early. Heretia Lumumba has gone on ABC National TV this morning to follow up what he did yesterday, that is, release conversations that he'd had with Nathan Buckley. They're edited versions of conversations. He's admitted that today. I'm not comfortable with that aspect of it. I didn't learn anything new on the latest wave of Heretia Lumumba. I certainly listened to what he says in terms of him needing to see more than what he's seen to this point about Collingwood, but I don't see in terms of a media approach it changing what Collingwood is doing. And I'm not one to defend Nathan Buckley, but on this occasion and how this has happened in the last 24 hours, I do feel sorry for him with how it's been released.
The question from everyone listening following this is, what more does he need? So they've produced the Do Better report. They've admitted systematic racism. Nathan Buckley's apologised. The club have apologised. What more is he looking for? Is the question.
I can't answer that. Yeah, and people have asked him that. I've listened to him like we all have. You've played with him days, and maybe you please take over this conversation from here, because I can't answer that on his behalf.
I think it's been quite clear what he's asking for. He's asking for people to take full ownership. That's what I've read through what he said in the last few days. You haven't read that? You're smarter than me.
He's obviously not happy with
I think Nathan Buckley feels he has.
Yeah, okay.
I don't know why.
But I'm just letting you know what the message coming from that I'm hearing is that he wants people to take full responsibility. That's what I'm hearing.
And it seems like at the moment he feels as if that hasn't come close to where he thinks it should be.
Now, I'm not saying they haven't given that. I'm just saying that's what I'm hearing from him.
But then from the club's point of view, they also believe that they're trying to do as much as they can to reach out to Heretia and try and put practices and things in place so that they can come together and find some sort of common ground. Because at the moment,
did you sense any of this at the time? And not that changes anything either, but this is...
It's tough because towards the end, I think when Nathan had taken over, he missed a game towards the end when he went up to Port Douglas famously and stormed out of a meeting. At that time, though, that wasn't, in my eyes, in and around race, religion, or anything else that he's seeking an apology for. Now it was more just a genuine blow up with the coach. That was, I might be off the mark there, but that was my taking on it. But, you know, I think we all agree that where it is now, it's out in the public eye. It is a genuine mess from a footballing point of view. Mm. It'd just be great if somehow the club and Heretia could come together, find some common ground, whatever the apology he's after is met and granted, because if he's disagreed, he should be given that.
Yeah.
And then everyone can try and move on to do better, as the report will say, so this never happens again.
All right. Well done. Yeah. Well said. All right, let's move on, because up next we want to get into the Daisy Duck Dive Quick Five.
This is the Midweek Rock.
I've studied the form for 81 days, and the answer is we've got no idea.
Triple M Rocks Footy.
This is Triple M Footy's Midweek Rub, exclusive on the Listener app, and it's now time for this.
On the Midweek Rub.
Absolutely outstanding by me.
I'm good from the waist down.
It's the Daisy Duck Dive.
One, two, three, four, five.
This is where I'll fire questions at both Daisy and Duck without notice, and I want you to get off the fence, give us some strong answers. First one, Maxi Gawn. We know he's gone in for scans on his knee, got a bit of a sore knee. They are playing West Coast Eagles over in Perth.
Rest.
Even if he thinks he's fine and he says he's fine, should they take him over this week?
Rest.
Rest.
Not even worth risking it.
Move on, Joey.
Not even worth it.
Move on.
That's it. That's all we're going to get. Yep. If you keep them too short, we're going to run out of time. Next question. Right now, and this Damo, I think I know where you sit, but you can join in on this one. Right now, if you were Carlton and you could only keep one of these two for the next 7 years, who are you keeping, Charlie Curnow or Harry Mackay? You can only keep one of the two.
I like this one.
To try and win this flag, you can only keep one.
I'd say Charlie. Charlie Curnow.
I'd just take Mackay because still the doubt over Curnow's body. That's the only reason.
Damo, you've been big on Charlie Curnow. He keeps every single week he's proving more and more how big this story
is,
his comeback.
He could become a winger or a midfielder as well as playing.
Why? He's one of the best forwards in the comp,
but he could do it. You
Joey
know what Adam
said,
Goods
Joey
was
said over 7 years too, by the way.
Yeah, for the next, just gave it to
over
the next
I've seven. Got Charlie in that answer there too, Joey.
Yeah, very good. I heard
who
a stat. I'm leaning towards if Charlie Curnow stayed fit.
Oh.
So you're going to presume he will be.
Hang on. You didn't ask. You
no,
didn't
that's
ask
part of the equation.
You didn't
so
have a hypothetical in
place. No, so I'm going to
take Charlie. So if they're 100% fit for 7 years straight.
I'm taking Charlie Curnow.
Well, I'll take Charlie Curnow. Thanks for now. That's a better question.
Because that was
question.
Part of the challenge, wasn't it, though?
Okay, that was you part
were,
of the
you
question.
Were weighing you were up the body.
Yeah. I'm weighing up the body.
In his defence, he was,
Okay.
Harry Mackay might leave in 3 years too, so you've got to
What was the stat you're about to
produce? I saw a stat that at the moment, Charlie Curnow is winning 58% of his one-on-one contests inside 50. There's only been one player since they've been doing those stats. The stats started basically after Duck's career, the champion data stats. Dusty Martin in 2017 has only had a higher rate of winning one-on-ones inside 50.
Wow.
Which we know about Dusty's 2017 year. It was probably one of the best
years
ever.
That's the Brownlow year for those who forget.
So Charlie Kerner, it's amazing what he's doing. But the two of them combined can take Carlton a long way. Actually, I'll ask that off the top. How far can they take Carlton? Can they play in a prelim?
Yes.
Are they good enough to play in a prelim?
Yes.
Not yet?
Not yet.
I think they are. I think they can certainly now put themselves in that conversation of finishing somewhere from fourth to eighth.
You're not so sure, are you?
Still being scored against. That's the...
They'll be close. They need to tighten up their defence. But I'm still giving them time because you've still got another 12 weeks to evolve their team defence. Teams do evolve as you know, that you've got to be evolving your game all season
at the end of the year. We're very short memories. They've won a couple of games by very small margins. It could have easily gone the other way the other way.
They had the easy part of the draw to start off with. I think I said they had to be 5-3 if they were going to be any chance. 6-2.
On the finals, I've said I picked them for finals. I have the last 3-4 years. Unashamed.
Mm-hmm. Very good. Hey, next question. We'll play the audio first. Port Adelaide, obviously got Melbourne Thursday night, tomorrow night as we speak.
So I think they'll go 0. I'll be tipping Melbourne, obviously, because of the form. But I think Port Adelaide are a team that can string 7 or 8 wins on the trot. So they might be 0-4, but they will get on a roll at some stage. Therefore, I still think Port Adelaide will play finals footy this year.
Now, Duck, do you finally, because they've got North Melbourne, so we'll almost pencil that in, do you finally feel vindicated? Because you have been strong that Port Adelaide are a team that could get on a roll and still play finals. They'll be 4-5 after the weekend. Do you feel vindicated that this team will play finals in 2022?
Well, to answer your question, Joey, I don't need to feel. I don't need to feel.
You do like
vindicated.
It,
though. No, I don't, because I knew that was going to happen. I knew that they were going to get on a roll. They are a quality team. We're talking about a team that...
Duck, we're still waiting for West Coast to make last year's grand final.
And for it to be in Melbourne.
All right. I feel vindicated for myself, not for anyone else, because I just think that they were always going to do this.
Yep, I love it. I love the fact that you stuck fat with them regardless of how they were going, because I thought they would turn it around at some point, but when you were calling it, they were getting beaten by Hawthorn to the tune of 60 points. They weren't just losses.
They were bad losses.
The
Crows, yeah.
So,
Was Carlton after half time. That's when they found a little bit of their mojo, even though they lost that game.
Okay, we mentioned about whether Carlton are a top four team, could play in a prelim. Are you a believer in the Tigers, with their personnel coming back, that they can be a top four team and make another prelim and scare some teams?
So you gave me a rap before. I'll give myself a clip and say I think I saw a bit of the old Tiger back in them last week, and I think a young Morris Rioli gave me that pressure that he put on in their forward line. I think Bolter, unbelievable. Like, he's got to be back. I don't think the three-pronged tools work for them. So obviously with Riewoldt back in that team now a few weeks, Lynch on fire, that smaller brigade, Bolter down back, he's a gun. I mean, he was a brick wall on the weekend. So I haven't picked Richmond, I reckon, for the last 3 weeks in a row. That will be changing. I'm not sure who they got this week. But that will be changing.
Hawthorn.
Because they looked really, really good. And Dusty just gave them, he was the cherry on top.
I still think they're in that 6th to 16th bracket of teams. The big clump, the big peloton that's chasing the clear standout top five, I think they're going to be in there. So if they do make it into finals, and I think they will, I think I tipped them at the start of the season to make finals. If you're a Carlton or someone who comes, you know, 5th v 8th or whatever, however that draw works, I think you'd be mighty nervous.
That's a very good point. I still think there are probably 80% of the teams in the comp that still fear Richmond because of what they've done.
Very good. And the last one, I've been thinking about this one for a while. I want to get your boys' views. I want to know, can you rank, I want you to rank Melbourne's most important player from 1 to 5.
Oh, gee, you've been thinking about that. You've raised that the other day. That's a really good topic.
I was waiting for Damo. Daisy didn't want me to do it. We've got to give Damo, came up. I listened to AFL Daily on the AFL podcast, and I really like the question, Damo, so I hope you don't mind me stealing it.
I'm stealing off. I think it was Connor Morrissey who gave it to Sarah Ollie, who we discussed it with.
I wanted to ask you, but Daisy goes, it'd be funny if you just don't tell Damo and claim it as your own.
I wanted more of a response. You took that really well.
I liked it, so I want to know your top five, the most important player in Melbourne that they can't afford to lose this season from 1 to 5. Start with 1, the most important.
I'll just go quick. I know I haven't given it any thought, but I'll go May, Gawn, I'll go May, Gawn, Oliver, Petrarca, Brayshaw.
And Lever was the one we discussed as the fifth, not Brayshaw, but just for the purpose of the exercise.
Yeah,
but
you can put in.
Same Quinella as
we change it up. We can do whoever we want.
Oh, so you had the five. Exact same as that?
I had the same Quinella, yeah. Huh.
But not the other order. You had Gawn 1. You had Gawn as a clear one.
Yeah, before it's worth, I had Gawn 1, May 2, Petrarca 3, Oliver 4, which seems really low, doesn't it? Given he's won three best in Ferris in the last 5 years.
Who's gone Melbourne's most important days?
Stephen May. I think he's the pillar down there that they can't afford to lose. He takes their kick-ins. He's the one that is a clear head and shoulders even above Lever with setting up and how he's playing at the minute. Petrarca too. I think he's the X factor that can win you games. We saw that in the grand final especially. Gawn at three. I think I'm not the biggest rap for Ruckman, but he's a jack-in-the-box in that category. Oliver at four and then Jackson at five.
Mm. Mm. Very
Give
good.
Us yours, Joey, seeing you.
I'm probably viewing Stephen May. I think's their most important player. I think they could probably still, they could still win it with probably any of those, one of them, but probably May's their most important. I'd probably go towards Petrarca as well for that ability to hit the scoreboard. He's a ball forward of the heart, forward half, X factor, win games. Gawn three, Oliver four. And Ed Langdon, the way that he's playing this year and the way they're using him on the wing, his influence as that link player, I put him at five.
I think the reason why Gawn so high for me is not for the obvious. I think because the fact that Jackson would have to come into the ruck, therefore you lose Gawn forward, therefore the pressure that goes onto McDonald and a few other key, then, you know, even Wiedemann comes in, the pressure is much more evident.
Yeah.
Without him in there.
They could easily make a case for Gawn 1. Yeah,
well, that's why I had Gawn and Jackson in there, because I think they're becoming two of the great tag teaming setups in the entire AFL. We go back to that grand final. That game changed when Jackson went into the ruck and Gawn went forward. So their luxury there and the way they're playing that is absolutely brilliant.
Very good. Well done, Damo. Thanks for letting us borrow that one. Hey, good good chat. Let's take a look next. We'll look at round 9, all the games, and get our tips for the weekend.
This is the Midweek Rub.
A little bit of a Tony Deliberatore there, Baz.
Triple M Rocks Footy.
This has been Triple M Footy's Midweek Rub, exclusive on the Listener app. And before we get into the Round 9 action, boys, we'll just take a quick look back. Last week, hold ourselves accountable for our tips. I think just having a look at this, Duck, you had a bit of a rough week on the tips. Well, you tipped the Crows to beat Carlton.
Rub it in. I meant to be in hospital.
Port Adelaide, I tipped the Western Bulldogs, which was, I can't believe, I thought the Dogs would be much better than that. You three all tipped Port Adelaide. Richmond, Collingwood, Daisy and I all tipped Richmond. Just can we remind us, what did Duck tip?
I'm going to go with the Pies. Let's be honest. Richmond played a waffle team last week.
You did acknowledge, though, in the previous segment that you've got Richmond wrong, so that's okay.
Yep.
I think I declared that the Richmond forwards would be too good for the Pies in that one.
I think you did.
Yeah. I think you did. I think the Richmond forwards went
Lynch
okay.
Lynch just playing the best game in the last 100 years.
Speaking of the Oracle, let's just take a look back to the Giants Geelong, because I think I might have suggested the Giants could push the Cats, but let's just take a listen how Daisy thought this one would pan out.
Morals are the Cats. Absolute morals. Win. Sit and steer sort of job.
Wow. Huey Bowman on winks, wasn't it?
Just sit up for the photo. Turn around, look for your rivals.
It was 15 minutes in, it was done.
It was all
boss
over.
On McCobie.
That's exactly right.
And I actually thought about you 15 minutes in that game. Went, Daisy,
I was
happy
commentating
with this.
Right, and I was thinking of myself as well.
Let's continue to put our credibility on the line just quickly. What are we going to do? We'll have a look at the games, but we'll start with getting someone's suggestion for the certainty of the round. Who won't lose? And then I want everyone to give me, if there's going to be an upset, who it is. Duck, you can go first, but I know you, so you're not allowed to have Port Adelaide to beat North.
Richmond.
Or West Coast to beat Melbourne.
Richmond,
Melbourne to beat West Coast.
My Tigers. My Tigers will beat the Hawks.
Then now you're certainty.
Yeah.
All right.
Beat the Hawks.
I like it. I'm actually, while we're doing that game, I'm going to tip Hawthorn as my smoky, my upset. I love Richmond's offense, but if you look at them defensively, they are still leaking heavily. They're still 18th in the comp for scores per entry against them. If this is a shootout against Hawthorn,
I love your knowledge of numbers on this sport, Joey.
The Hawks could be capable.
He gets himself confused. Just
a shootout against Hawthorn could go one of two ways. They could win by 10 goals or you could get beat. So I'm picking Hawthorn
tipping Hawthorn.
So could mean they could win or they could lose.
So Hawthorn, you saying Hawthorn will win?
No, they're my smoky. They're my upset of the round.
So they'll win. You think they'll win?
No, you said there's two categories, Dark. Your certainty and your potential upset.
Potential upset.
It's not that hard.
But are you tipping Hawthorn to win?
Oh, yes, if you want me to.
Yes, okay. Yes. Yeah, yeah. Okay.
I'll tip the Hawks to upset Richmond.
Well, that's what a smoke
Damo?
Is.
Yeah, that's right.
I'm going to go with Fremantle to beat Gold Coast as my certainty. Yeah. And it's not as certain as you'd think, actually. The Suns are a chance. I just love what the Dockers are doing, and I reckon they're a better system than the Suns. So we'll do that. And in terms of the upset, I think Friday night could present it. I don't think I'm going to be courageous enough to tip Collingwood against the Dogs, but I do think they're a chance. The Pies.
Oh, but you're not tipping Collingwood. Hang on.
I was with you. You asked me for a certainty, which I've given you in Fremantle. You asked me for a potential upset.
I agree, Damo, but Duck thinks you have to hold. If you're going to tip a smoky, you've got to actually tip them to win.
Well, you can't go and tip the Bulldogs and then come back next week and go, oh, yeah, but I did say the Pies would be a chance. Right.
That's why this segment sometimes gets away from us.
Okay, I'll give you a certainty.
You've given me a certainty. You gave me Richmond.
Yeah, you're done.
Okay, another one.
No, I have to go. Sydney.
Sydney will beat Essendon.
Yes, that's the one I like.
It's too obvious.
And I'll have my smoky that St Kilda will beat Geelong.
Good, Daisy.
I'll be tipping them.
So last week, you could just sit snowy off the trams on Geelong, and now you're going against them.
Hey, that's the beauty of this segment. Come on, Doug.
If you get this right, Daisy, you are the Oracle.
I'll give my certainty. I think the Western Bulldogs are certainties to beat Collingwood. Oh, I think Collingwood might just start to... Their trend might start to... Yeah. I'm pretty confident the Dogs win this. With Bontempelli back, Alex Keith back, the Dogs sit and steer job, as Daisy would say.
Sit and steer.
They will beat Collingwood.
Sit and steer has to be more than 40 points.
Oh.
No. I think in that particular game,
Collingwood are a big chance.
So are they your smokies?
He's now got four smokies, a potential certainty, and he hasn't listened to the others.
Can AIA sort your shoulder out so you can piss off for a week?
I deliberately did that.
Okay. Who's your smoky?
I'm flat. My smoky's Collingwood.
Okay. Will they win?
Yes.
We're going to just tighten this segment up, Joey. Right. I know what we just did there.
A runaway train.
Well, we're not going to waste our time on North v Port, no. West Coast v Melbourne.
North is smoky.
The two games I do want to just quickly touch on, St Kilda Geelong is a beauty. Is anyone riding off St Kilda after what you've seen the last couple of weeks, or is everyone still confident that they're around the top four mark? Who's the better team right now? Let's put it
top four.
Who's the better team, St Kilda or Geelong?
Geelong
are the better team. I think St Kilda's got more upside.
Actually, I'd say Geelong will beat St Kilda this week. I'll be tipping Geelong.
I think St Kilda's speed, back at Marvel, we spoke about it, how they're not just quick on offence, but defence as well. I think that can present some challenges to the Cats. That's why I'm tipping them.
Mm, good one. What about the Giants v Carlton? Giants are hard to catch. They can be hot, they can be cold.
Well, exactly. It's a massive... We say this every week about Carlton. This is a danger game for Carlton because we don't trust them yet. But off the back of last week, I think, and GWS's form, I'll be going with the Blues.
Yeah, and to use that trust word, you cannot trust GWS this year. Yeah.
There has to be a response from GWS, though, because they were near on insipid against Geelong.
Yeah, brilliant against Adelaide.
Season on the line sort of stuff still. So this is a game, history says up there at Giants Stadium, that I think they have an average winning margin of about 50-odd points against the Blues. So hasn't been a happy hunting ground, but...
I might flip.
This is my frustration about the Giants. They play great one week, then they play really ordinary. I'm going to stick with Carl. I'm starting to have faith in the Blues.
Yep.
So very good. Hey, another great show as always. Duck, great to have you here. We're going to be sad if we had Nate Brown filling in, let's be honest, but we're happy that you were here. Brandy would have been great, but Duck's always better. Hey, don't forget you can listen to every game across round 9 this weekend on Triple M and the listener app, starting with the big one Friday night with the Huddle. Das Chief Howie, Nate Brown, Damo ahead of Collingwood v the Western Bulldogs. Thanks for listening to this week's edition of Triple M Footy's Midweek Wrap.
Shut up! The footy's on Triple M.
Triple M rocks footy.